Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, that He came into the world to seek and to save the lost, that He came to give His life a ransom for many, that He came to call us to Himself. We thank Thee for it, and we pray Thee, Father, now as we study, that Thou wilt, by Thy Holy Spirit, take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. As we go along in our study in the book of Matthew, we come to incident after incident where we can learn truth about our relationship with the Lord. And you know, as we're thinking about these things, we would do well, as we go along, to keep bringing these things close to our own heart and to ask ourselves, to what extent have we entered into the things that have been prepared for us? Because actually, everything we have in the book of Matthew, in the Gospels, is setting out before us what the Lord Jesus Christ did by way of opening the way for us to come to God. And we are given insight into the things He said and the things that He did, and there are described for us situations when He met people and when He dealt with people wherein we learn and can see the ways of God. Our particular portion now is going to take us into an aspect of truth that is seen in a certain experience, incident in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is very, very rare. I'm referring to what we find in the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 26, verses 36 to 46. And simply put, this is the story of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. How many, many times we've referred to that. And I hope now as we look in it that we may look at it in a way that will be helpful to us all. Because the Garden of Gethsemane, for anybody, and especially for a Christian, is a hallowed spot where our Lord Jesus Christ went to pray on that last night before He was betrayed. And as we think about that and are going to be reading it and looking at it, we might remind ourselves how little we know as to what actually took place there. I often think to myself when I try to grasp it that I am limited at the very outset of trying to understand what was said, because I wouldn't know what a person would say, such as the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a sinless man. He had never done anything wrong. When I turn to God, I can seek to come into the presence of God. The first thing I have to deal with is my wrongdoing. I have to deal with my sins. But this one didn't have to deal with his sins. He could come directly into the presence of the Father. As I say, we know so little about it. And yet, there is so much there that concerns us. Because his life here on earth and his death here on earth all had something to do with my sin. Well, we find in this passage that the Lord Jesus entered into a very deep personal experience with reference to his Father in heaven. And it's of interest, and we look at it to find, as you will remember, I'm sure you've read the story enough to know without reading it again, that when he did go into the Garden of Gethsemane on that occasion, he took with him Peter, James, and John. These names mean various things to us, but one thing they can be we can be sure about. They are the inner circle of the disciples, those who are closer to the Lord than any other. And by the way, this is of interest to us all. Just because we're Christian doesn't mean that we're all living as close to the Lord as we could, nor that we're living on any one day as close to the Lord as we have lived or as we will live. We may wander away from him, we can come back to him. And certainly we can draw nigh to him. And perhaps some of us could have the ambition that we might possibly somehow attain to this inner circle, this group of those with whom he did his great works. So we read now in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 26, beginning at verse 36. And this is what we read. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Now that's what he said to the group as a whole. Sit here while I go and pray. And that makes me feel that not everybody is equally ready at all times to enter into close personal prayer with God. There will be some people who will just sit while someone else goes and prays. Not everyone is ready to come up close to the Lord. That doesn't mean they don't belong. It just means they're not ready to do this. And the Lord Jesus said to the whole group, sit down while I go and pray. I'm going to do more than you, but you just sit here until I get back. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now that language, sorrowful and very heavy, brings to our mind that he was in distress, that he began to feel grief. And this, of course, speaks to us immediately to tell us that the Christian life is not all sweetness and light. That if the Lord Jesus suffered this way, the servant is not greater than his master. But he didn't manifest this heavy-hearted, sorrowful feeling until he was alone with these who were close to him in the inner circle. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And here again we have this expression, tarry ye here and watch with me. Now they weren't going to do the praying, but they could have fellowship in prayer. And apparently a person can share in prayer without actually voicing it, without actually saying anything. The truth of this can come closer and closer to us. That you and I, even though we don't feel at a given time that we can enter into the most inner part of the spiritual problem, we can share in it. And he asked them to do that. And he said to them, tarry ye here, stay with me, and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face. That seems such a simple way to say it. He went a little further and fell on his face. Now, if you stop to think at that particular time, consider like this. There was all the world, the whole city of Jerusalem, unconcerned. Of all the world, there was one group, the disciples and the Lord. They were concerned. They're separated from them. Now, of the whole group of disciples, there were three, and they belonged to the inner circle, and he took them with him. And then of these three, there came a time when there was none, when he said, you sit here and I'll go. And he had them sit down, and he went a little further and fell on his face and turned himself to God. O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. When you look at that, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In another gospel, we are told that his thought included such statement as this, Father, all things are possible unto thee. And then this statement, if it be possible, do so and so. And that brings an interesting thing to mind, that there could be things that would be possible from the standpoint of the Lord having the power, but they wouldn't be possible because he wouldn't have the will to do them. They wouldn't be in his will. Because while the Lord Jesus and Almighty God the Father can do anything, they will do only what their holy, wise, and just will prompt them to do. And so, he could say to his Father, if it be possible, that is to say, if the Father had the liberty to do this, because if it was contrary to his announced will, he wouldn't have liberty to change it. If it be possible, let this cup pass from thee. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt, is a way of emphasizing this fact, that the Lord Jesus while he gave his request, let this cup pass from me if it be possible. His prayer, the thing that he actually asked for, petitioned for, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You know, when we come before God, any one of us, our hearts and minds are rather mixed. We've got human feelings and we have spiritual feelings. We have human feelings because we're in this world, and we have spiritual feelings because we believe in the world to come. And sometimes when we talk to the Lord, both these ideas are in there. And we'll learn to say with reference to human feelings that we'll turn them down, so to speak. We're willing to forego those. But with reference to spiritual feelings, we'll want to follow those. So we have in this case, when the Lord Jesus came before the Father, Father, if it be possible, as far as I am concerned, humanly speaking, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, so far as I really want it, in my heart and soul, in my spirit, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? I think it's important to keep in mind that that praying went on for an hour at a time, and they had fallen asleep. And he says, Watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Ask the Lord if it be possible that you will be spared. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup pass not from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Committing himself into the will of God. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray us. Sometimes you wonder whether you need to pray for a thing the second time. Just remember the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for something 3 times. And he wasn't so much praying for something he would get. He was praying for something he was going to do. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to be faithful in prayer.